Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Susan Fleischer. How are you?
Very well today.
Excellent, excellent. You're the owner or the starter, I suppose, of...
Founder
of NFAS, which is...
I wouldn't say I'm the founder of NOFAS. It was actually founded in Washington, D.C., and they are now affiliates of this charity literally all over the world.
What is NOFAS first?
It stands, NOFAS is the National Organization for Fetal Alcohol Syndrome, with a UK version.
Yeah.
We support people who are affected by fetal alcohol spectrum disorders.
Okay, that spectrum word is quite an interesting one. Before we get into too much detail, just give a very, very quick overview and then we'll find out a bit about your history.
Sure. Fetal alcohol syndrome was the first syndrome, the first part of the spectrum that was recognized. And then the Center for Disease Control in America realized that there were many more outcomes. If women drank during pregnancy, their children might have a whole series and different levels of fetal alcohol spectrum disorders. So they changed the term, and now this is a long list of terms I could go into another time.
Okay, and the disorders include both physical and mental
sort
of issues.
Exactly, yes.
We'll deal into those sort of things in a minute, but how did you get into that? You know, what's your motivation for this?
I'm very motivated because I have a beautiful daughter who I'm crazy about who has this condition. I didn't realize that when I adopted her. I adopted her at age 3, and I gave her all kinds of support, and nothing was working. All kinds of problems were occurring with her learning and, you know, a lot of, disabling problems. And then I was at a conference for adoptive parents, and I heard them describing my daughter. They said, you know, children whose mothers drank, birth mothers drank alcohol, could be affected. And they started listing all the attributes, and my daughter had all of them. And then when they said, these children have a smaller head circumference because alcohol kills brain cells, therefore the brain is smaller, and therefore the head is smaller, I knew something was wrong because I'd been to all the bicycle shops in North London where I live, and no one had a children's bicycle helmet small enough for my daughter. We had to put padding in it, and I thought, could this be the problem? And we went to Great Ormond Street Children's Hospital, and she got the diagnosis, and it changed the course of my life and, of course, my daughter's life, frankly, for the better, because now we know what to do.
How old's your daughter now?
She's 26 and doing very well.
Excellent, excellent. All right, let's, I suppose the first thing is, let's have a look at the spectrum of outcomes. And I presume, well, let's start with the spectrum, I think, and then we'll look at sort of recommendations about it. So,
just a footnote, I think, is rather interesting about the history of this. People think it's a recent, something that's just started recently. And actually, I can't remember the exact number, like 200 and something BC, Aristotle actually recognized that children of alcoholic women had a strange and different look. And all through history, there have actually been times when they've recognized this as a problem, but no one actually scientifically named it until, in 1968, a French doctor, Paul Lemoyne, recognized it because a midwife pointed out that children of alcoholic women look different. And he named it, but it wasn't registered in all the scientific journals because it was in French. Then in 1973, Dr. Smith and Jones in Seattle, Washington, looked at children, and they gave it the name fetal alcohol syndrome, and then it went into the medical journals. Then after that, the CDC said, it's not just children with fetal alcohol syndrome, which meant they had recognizable facial features. There's a whole lot of other things that can happen. It doesn't just cause facial features.
Okay, well, let's start with the facial features then.
Sure.
And we'll have a look at them, all the other bits as well.
The facial features will only occur if a mother drinks when the face is forming between the third and the sixth week of pregnancy. Some women, of course, don't even know they're pregnant at that time, but there's a risk the child will have the facial features. And the facial features include smaller, more wide-set eyes, a flattened mid-face, a philtrum's missing, the ridge below the nose and above the upper lip. That little ridge is gone, a thin upper lip, lower ears, and then, like I said before, a smaller head circumference. So there are recognizable features, and we know it's actually caused by alcohol because there have been hundreds of studies on animals, and they can make the same facial features occur, if an animal is exposed to alcohol. Now, one of the things that's important to know, if a woman stops drinking at any stage, she will improve the health of her child. And the child may have these facial features, which are rather subtle. Only an expert usually recognizes them, but can still have good learning and good experience in school. If she stops drinking, it won't affect the later development, which affects memory and learning and behavior, etc. So there's a whole lot of behavioral problems that will occur. And because the children just appear to be naughty or lazy or forgetful, they get punished and disciplined for behaviors they just can't control, and they don't understand or they can't explain themselves. So children are very confused. So those are some of the learning and the invisible problems. But it can also affect skeletal development, and it can affect balance and ability to walk. Very extreme cases. They can see, can I mention our website?
Yeah.
They can look at the film called No Alcohol, No Risk on the website, which is nofas-uk.org, nofas-uk. At the bottom of our homepage, they'll see an interesting film where they meet children who have this condition and also their mothers who drank.
You didn't mention the skeletal issues.
Sure.
But you did.
The bones I haven't mentioned also. The first trimester is when the organs are damaged, the lungs, the heart, all kinds of organ damage. I could go on and on. There are long lists.
Yeah. And what about the sort of mental issues? You were saying that mathematics and spatial awareness.
Oh, God, yes. Mathematics, the majority of children with this condition, and everything I say, there will always be exceptions, and not everyone will be affected. They believe, studies say, that at least 60% of women who drank during pregnancy will affect their child, and they don't have to drink heavily. Some women who just drank occasionally, socially, have affected their children. Did I answer your question? You asked me a question.
No, we're going to talk about skeletal issues.
Oh, yeah. Well, the skeleton can be damaged. You'll see that from one of the children in our film. The everything, the fingers, the palm of the hand will have different creases in it. The genitals can be different. I could go on and on. There's one of the world's experts, a man named Dr. Sterling Claren, who took photographs of the brains and how different the brain is formed when alcohol affects it. And when people ask him, what does alcohol do to the developing brain? And he says, anything it wants to.
Okay, and you said that about 60% of people who drink will affect their child in some way.
We think, yes.
Which means 40% are immune.
We hope.
Yeah, your hope. Do you know what is there any reason to decide who's going to not be affected and who's going to be affected? Is there any genetic markers?
No predicting. No, I mean, we don't know. We just don't know who will be affected. We can't predict yet. I mean, there's still studies going on. And like I said, a lot of animal studies, because they can control animal studies.
Yeah, yeah. You don't really want to give a child alcohol just to see what will happen.
So. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, how common is it? Is it something that, is really common, or is it pretty obscure?
A lot of people, including doctors, will say, oh, it's very rare. And in fact, sadly, it's more common than any other disability in the world, because there are studies done all, and you can see those studies on our website, the abstracts of those studies. There are over 4,000 studies, this going around from Australia to Europe, etc. And they believe, based on the studies, that everyone agrees around the world, including the World Health Organization, that at least 1% of the population is affected. So that would mean about 6,000 or 7,000, babies are being born every year in the UK. However, in Italy and the United States, there are studies that say between 2% and 5% of the population is affected. And there are studies on alcoholism in Britain, and the UK is the number one binge drinking country in Europe. That's based on studies, and the doctors who've done those studies are on our medical advisory panel. So we know there's a high incidence. It's probably as high as Italy and America, and it could be even higher, which would mean 2% to 5% of our children are being born and adults are walking around with this problem.
In France, they've started putting, pictures of pregnant women with big crosses on them.
In 2007, they did. They started that.
Yeah, and they've been trying to do that here as well. Is there a safe limit? Can you have a glass a week or a glass a day and it's not a problem?
We don't want to alarm people, because we get calls on our helpline from pregnant women who say, "Oh, I just learned about this, and for my birthday, I was out with my friends and I was drinking, and I explain to them, not everyone will affect their child. The problem is we cannot predict, and even women who drank just a little bit, as I mentioned to you earlier when we were speaking, that we have women who come to our support groups, and they have 4 children, 3 are fine, and the one child they were pregnant with over Christmas when they drank socially, that child has brain damage from alcohol-related brain damage. It's different than other brain damage.
Okay. So what would you say? Just knock it on the head?
Yeah. Well, as our film is called, No Alcohol, No Risk, then you can be 100% certain this is actually a preventable disability. How many disabilities can you say that about? And it's far more common than Down's and many other disabilities.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I want to show you a picture of, because I went through your website, looked at all your videos and that.
Sure.
And we thought, oh, well, that reminds me of someone famous.
Sure.
So I'm not going to show you the full picture, but
okay,
let's show you the characteristics. So thin lip, no cleft.
All right, one of the things I'll tell you is that's an older person. A lot of people with the facial features outgrow them. So you can't necessarily diagnose the physical features when they're an adult. You have to measure the head circumference and go through all the, the whole list of things that have to be measured.
Oh, okay.
So you can only look at children. And like I said, not all the children are born with the facial features. So
it's got beady eyes, though. But they're not very widespread, are they? But so you're saying as an adult you can't tell?
No, you can't.
Oh, that's such a shame. It's like,
I mean, so, you saw the pictures in our, material, so they're obvious, but they're children, and a big percentage of them outgrow most of the facial features.
But
they become more subtle.
Okay.
For the filter may grow in, it just depends.
Okay, but the mental issues don't change.
They get worse. They get far worse if you don't know what the problem is. One of the most important things when people discover this at an early age, we have lots of adoptive families who call on us. They've adopted a child, didn't know the history as I didn't, or I knew the history but didn't know what it meant. But if we find out early, there's tons of positive things we can do.
Is it in terms of medication or is it in terms of...
There is some slight medication like melatonin to keep them, calm down. But no, it's not medication. It's management.
Yeah.
So sometimes it means putting your child in a special school where they get special assistance in learning. But also they don't get punished for things they can't even understand or remember. One of the things that's so heartbreaking is their short-term memory is damaged. So they may remember something in great detail that they learned at school or that their parents told them from a week ago. So people have said to me about my daughter, she has an amazing memory. She does have a brilliant vocabulary, actually better than mine. but she can't remember instructions she's been given 30 seconds ago. So when people say, could you please put that in the cupboard? She'll say, okay, and then not do it.
Oh, I suffer from that. And I say, well, especially if my wife tells you that.
I tell my daughter I'm catching FAS from her because I'm forgetting so many things. But what used to happen is I'd say, all right, I've told you 8 times to put your shoes in the cupboard, and now you're going to have a timeout. And she'd go in her room, and she'd cry and scream and break things. And I didn't know why she was getting so angry. And then I learned she didn't even remember what she'd been told. And in school, teachers say to students, don't tell me you can't do it. You did it yesterday. I know you remember how to do it. And they're constantly criticized for all kinds of things, and they don't even know what's going on around them. They're very confused. They can't remember things. They also are very vulnerable to be taken advantage of because they can't remember, because they need continued help. Very often, criminals or people who aren't so nice take advantage of them, get them to go do things for them, steal things for them. As far as getting lost, my daughter just a couple months ago, who's 26, she was, trying to go somewhere, and she's usually good about finding her way around now. She gets lost less. But this young fellow said, are you lost? And she said, yes. He said, well, get on the back of my bike. And she got on the back of his bike. Luckily, it wasn't a motorbike, and he was an honest person, and he took her to where she wanted to go. But many of our children get taken advantage of that way and get into deep trouble.
Yeah, no, it's quite serious. You talked about special schools or at least understanding of children. If someone's worried that their child has got FAS, what sort of support networks are there out there?
It's intermittent. There are a couple of support groups. We run a support group in London, and we know families in a few different places. So when people call us, we try and match them up at least with another family to talk to locally, because having other people who understand this condition to share your ideas and thoughts and problems with is a huge help. But the support network is just random, I'm sorry to say, though we have a network of over 1,000 families around the UK. So that's one kind of support. But number one is to get the diagnosis. And the majority of these children aren't diagnosed, and they're thought of as being antisocial and naughty and lazy. And so if they don't have the diagnosis, they start getting punished for things that they really don't understand. People want more help, they can call us. Do you want our number?
Yeah.
Our helpline is 0208-458-5951.
Okay, fantastic, Susan. Well, thank you very much for coming in and talking to us about this. And let's hope things improve over time with education.
Well, with your helping us to educate, more people will be helped.
Cheers very much.
Thank you.